ओम नमो भगवती वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवती वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, Text Number 19 and 20. Atma, yeah, I know, Nityaha, Avyayaha, Shuddhaha, Ekaha, Kshetrajna, Ashrayaha, अविक्रियः स्वदृक् हेतुः व्यापकः असंगी अनावृतः एतैः द्वादशाभिः आत्मनः लक्षणैः परैः अहम् मम इति असद्भावम् देह आदौ मोहजम् त्यजेत्। एतैर्द्वादशाभिर्विद्वान् आत्मनो लक्षणैः परैः अहम् ममेति असद्भावम् देहादौ मोहजम् त्यजेत्। एतैर्द्वादशभिर्विद्वान् आत्मनो लक्षणैः परैः अहम् ममेति असद्भावम् देहादौ मोहजम् त्यजेत्। एते द्वादशाद्भिर्विद्वान् आत्मनो लक्षणैः परैः अहम् ममेति असद्भावम् देहादौ मोहजम् त्यजेत्। प्लीज चैंट। Madhajis, etaihi, by all these, dvadashabihi, 12, vidvan, a person who is not foolish, but fully aware of things as they are. Atmanaha, of the spirit soul. Lakshanaihi, symptoms. Paraihi, transcendental. Aham, I am this body. Mama, mine. Everything in relationship with the body is mine. Iti, does. Asadbhavam, a false conception of life. Deha adav, identifying oneself with the material body and then with one's wife, children, family, community, nation, and so on. Mohajam, produced from illusory knowledge. Tejet, must give up. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. They are individual, they are the knowers of the external body, and they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change, they are self-illuminated, they are the cause of all causes, and they are all pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life in which one thinks, I am this material body and everything relationship with the body is mine. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Lord Krishna clearly says, Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta. All the living entities are part of me. Therefore, the living entities are qualitatively the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the leader, the supreme among all living beings. In the Vedas it is said, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. The Lord is the chief living entity, individual living entity, the leader of the subordinate living entities. Because the living entities are parts and parts are samples of God, their qualities are not different from those of the Supreme Lord. The living entities have the same qualities as the Lord, just as a drop of sea water is composed of the same chemicals as the great sea itself. Thus, there is oneness in quality, but a difference in quantity. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding the sample. The living entity, because all the qualities of God exist in a minute quantity in the living entities. There is oneness, but God is great, whereas the living entities are extremely small. Anuraniyan, Mahato Mahiyan. The living entities are smaller than the atom, but God is greater than the greatest. Our conception of greatness may be represented by the sky, because we think of the sky as being unlimitedly big. But God is bigger than the sky. Similarly, we have knowledge that the living entities are smaller than atoms, being 1/10,000 the size of the tip of the hair, that the quality of being the supreme cause of all causes exists in the living entity as well as in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, it is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and bodily changes take place. Similarly, it is because the Supreme Lord is within this universe that the changes dictated by the material laws occur. The word ekaha, meaning individual, is significant. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, Matsani sarvabhutani nachaham peshvavasthitaha. Everything material and spiritual, including earth, water, air, fire, sky and the living entities, exists on the platform of spirit soul. Although everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that Supreme Lord is dependent upon anything else. Both God and the living entities are fully conscious. As living entities, we are conscious of our bodily existence. Similarly, the Lord is conscious of the gigantic cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Yasmin Yauhu Prithvi Chantariksham Vijnantaram Adikena Vijaniyat Ekam Evadi Divyam Atma Jyoti Samrat Ihovacha Sa Iman Lokan Ashrichata Satyam Jnanam Anantam Asangohi Ayam Purushaha Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. All these Vedic injunctions prove that both the Supreme Personality Godhead and the minute soul are individual. One is great and the other is small, but both of them are the cause of all causes, the corporally limited and the universally unlimited. We should always remember that although we are equal to the Supreme Personality Godhead in quality, we are never equal to Him in quantity. Persons with a small fund of knowledge, finding themselves equal in quality with God, foolishly think that they are equal in quantity also. Their intelligence is called Avishuddha Buddhayaha, unpolished or contaminated intelligence. When such persons, after endeavoring hard for many, many lives to understand the Supreme Cause, are finally in actual knowledge of Krishna, Vasudeva, they surrender unto Him. Thus they become great Mahatmas, perfect souls. If one is fortunate enough to understand his relationship with God, knowing that God is great, whereas the living unit is small, he is perfect in knowledge. The individual exists in darkness when he thinks that he is the material body and that everything in relationship with the material body belongs to him. This is called Aham Mama. Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. This is illusion. One must give up this illusory conception and thus become fully aware of everything. Om Ajnana Timirindasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna Charan, English Gita dena tum. So Srila Prabhupada gives his example. There is an old man and there is a young man, father and the son. And the father is dead. Right? And the young man is crying. He has gone. Right? Oh, chale gaye. Who has gone? The body is lying. Who has gone? Body is lying in front of him. All the while he is calling that body as his father, daddy, daddy. But he is saying now, he has gone. So who has gone? The soul has gone. Right? So all the while we think that this body, particular body is my father, one particular body, she is my wife, one particular body is my son, like that. But at that is called ignorance. But at the time of death of that person, we understand that body is not the father or the mother or the wife or the son or the daughter. You know, that is why we cry, he has gone, like that. So as long as the soul is present in this body has value. Right? Has value. Like, that is why when the husband is so-called, husband is alive, the wife wants to touch that body, as long as soul is there. But when the soul leaves the body, same husband whom she loved so much, she doesn't like to touch him anymore. If somebody touches that body, you know, we become contaminated. We have to take bath. Right? And then all that love and all is gone. Because now immediately they say, are time over. Nowadays they don't care so much. But in Andhra they follow, before sunset they have to, you know, after sunset we should not burn the bodies. But now they don't follow so much. You know, they say, jaldi aaya, karo, You know, finish it. You know, before sunset we have to. So they want to dispose of the body. But before that, when the soul is there in that body, so much value is given. Right? Like, you know, we have this IVF lectures. You know, well, you know, they say the body is a combination of only, our life is only a combination of chemicals. Right? So, you know, this body has so many chemicals like, you know, calcium, sulfur, hydrogen, oxygen and all that. So, now the scientists, they know exact percentage of the chemicals that are present in the body. So, they calculated the value of the body. You know how much? Value of our body? 210 rupees. 210 rupees. Right. So, green shirt, what is your name? Huh? Kushal. According to you, how much Mercedes-Benz car costs? Mercedes-Benz car, how much it costs? 1 crore, right? Suppose your friend is driving a very expensive Mercedes-Benz car and it meets with an accident. You will save the Mercedes-Benz car first or your friend? Huh? Your friend. You are a very bad businessman. The Mercedes-Benz car costs 1 crore. Your friend costs only 110 rupees. 210 rupees. Which one you should save first? Huh? Why? Because even though the body costs only 210 rupees, it is, we cannot even calculate the, you know, value of that body because the soul is present. Right? Soul is present. Like Rasaju always gives this example. The most expensive chemical in this world is uranium. You know, uranium. You know, it costs crores of rupees. Suppose you purchase one bag of uranium and you throw it in the sea, right? And you happen to see that, you know, then you will say, why are you throwing, you know, such expensive chemical costing crores of rupees? Then he will say, your friend will say, no, it is my chemical, I purchased, I will do whatever I want, right? You can't say anything. Next day, he takes his own son, 6-year-old son, and throws in the ocean. Then you ask him, hey, why are you throwing in this ocean? No, according to science, is it just a bag of chemicals? And it is my chemicals, I will throw it. Will you keep quiet? No. Because that body has got value because the presence of the soul. It is very important to understand not only the presence of the soul. Srila Prabhupada says, we cannot prove it beyond the, Prabhupada writes in 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we cannot prove the presence of the soul beyond the proof of Shruti. You know, we can have some perception, but we should accept the superior authority. Right? So unless we understand, I am not this body, I am the soul. And realize also, then only we can progress in spiritual life. Right? So, the knowledge means, Prabhupada defines, the matter is there, soul is there, and the controller of both. If you know these three things, matter, and then the soul, individual soul, and the controller of both, the super soul. So, this is called knowledge. Right? Many people, they say, how many of you think that matter has form and qualities? You think matter has form and qualities? Who else? Anybody else thinks? Matter has form and qualities. Right? Many people think that the soul is formless. You know, everybody, that is why whenever they want to show the soul, they show it as a light. Some, you know, candle light or some deep or something. But actually it is wrong, you know. Matter has no qualities. matter has no form. But the individual soul always has a form. Always has a form. And the spirit has form, spirit has qualities. But matter has no form, no qualities. Right? Basically, by nature, matter doesn't have any quality. Just like what is this called? This is called kartal, right? So if I throw this on somebody's face, this becomes a weapon. Is it not? So this matter gets a quality depending on the user. For me, depending on the way I use it, either this becomes a kartal or a weapon. So by measuring the diameter and depth and all that, you cannot determine that this is called kartal. Right? So I can use this as paperweight also. Right? So the quality are in the soul, not in the matter. So the soul decides how to use the matter. You understand? Right? So matter never has qualities and the form. Matter, when it comes in contact with the soul, who has form, gets the form, like that. Prabhupada again and again wrote in this purport about the individuality. So what is the nature of the soul? Right? So there are three characteristics of the soul. One is individuality. Another is intentionality. Another is it has form. Form, like that. So what is individuality? In each and every body, there is a soul. And then Prabhupada writes in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that we see so many different manifestations of material energy in a different form because of the presence of a particular soul. You know, I give this example. Suppose I give, like in the, suppose if I in the assembly of devotees, if I say this, they will have only one answer. But if you go to the colleges or universities or where you give a lecture and you ask this question, suppose I give $1 million to each one of you, right? What you will do? Right? Each person will spend differently. Somebody says, I'll build a hospital. Somebody will say, I'll give it to my wife. Somebody will say, I'll go abroad for studies. Like that, everybody, because every soul is an individual and every soul has a independence. So he will decide what to do, how to act in this world. So no two persons act similarly because each soul is a individual. Like the difference between matter and the spirit, like the soul, is intentionality. Intentionality. So just like, suppose I take a football and kick the football out of this temple. Right? Football doesn't know that I am going out. Right? But I know that I am kicking the football out. But when I am going out of the temple, I know that I am going out. So that intentionality is in me. I'm going out, or doing this, or doing that. But matter, is completely dependent on spirit. Suppose there is a very expensive Mercedes-Benz car. Whatever it, Prabhupada gives this example. However the expensive car it may be. Without the driver, the car cannot move on its own at all. Right? So the driver is important. Just like in the same way, this body, when it is dead, it cannot move. Only when the soul is there, the body moves. Right? So this understanding is very important. And so that is, intentionality is there. So that is why these scientists, they say, they want to find out an equation which you can display on the back of your t-shirt. a law which will hold under all circumstances at all places, you know, which is correct. But actually, it is not correct. Like, you know, according to Newton's laws of motion, when a ball, when you throw any material object, it falls down. It is because of gravitation, attraction, like that. Suppose you throw a ball, it will come down, right? That is attraction. But if you throw a bird, will it come down? No, it will fly. So their gravitational law doesn't apply to a living object, living thing, right? Suppose if somebody throws you, what will happen? Will you fall down? Huh? No, you may catch hold of some window or something. You try to save yourself, right? Where ball doesn't know that he has to save himself. So gravitational pull and all, it may happen to material objects, but it will not happen to living things. So that bird, that soul has intentionality. So the bird does not have to fall down. You know, bird may fly out. We have that intentionality. So we may catch hold of something and try ourselves. So the scientists, they say that, you know, all the laws will apply to everywhere and everyone. It's not true. Only under certain circumstances they apply. It is not like, you know, universal like that. In the same way, every soul, you know, we all have a particular form. We all have a particular form. So this conception that nirvishesha, you know, formless, you know, it is not supported by, you know, the Vedic knowledge, Vedas, and Srila Prabhupada says it is poor fund of knowledge, you know, to think that first thing is, you know, the soul is equal to God, another thing is God is formless, right? When Srila Prabhupada was there in 1966, you know, Achyutananda Prabhu, first time, you know, when he was explaining, you know, he wrote a book, you know, Blazing Suns, Blazing Sadhus. Right? Very interesting conversations he reproduced with Srila Prabhupada, right? So, he was interested in some kind of yoga or anything. Then he was walking by one day, then he saw 26 Second Avenue, and in that time some program was going on. He was looking through the glass, you know, what is happening, you know. Then one couple was there, then they were also looking through, and then Achyutananda asked, is this Hare Krishna? Because somebody suggested, you know, you go there. Then that lady giggled and told him, oh pilgrim, your journey has ended. He went inside. You know, then that time Srila Prabhupada was doing kirtan. Then he was sitting there. Then he gave a lecture. So Srila Prabhupada explained always, you know, basic philosophy. Right? So he explained that how a living entity is passing from one body to another body, you know, transmigrating, even though we are part and parcel of Krishna. So this, because of Sarvopadi Vinit Muktam, Tat Paravtene, because of this designation, you know, we are passing from one body to another body. So when we become free from this designation, then we can go back to Krishna. Like that Srila Prabhupada was speaking. Then later on, there was a kirtan. So Achyutananda Prabhu had a previous training in yoga, meditation, you know, raising the kundalini and all that. You know, then Professor Howard, Hayagriva Prabhu was there. They were all dancing. So Achyutananda Prabhu asked Hayagriva Prabhu, that time Professor Howard, that will Swamiji teach meditation now after this kirtan is over, because he wanted to raise the kundalini, you know, chakra and all that. So Hayagriva Prabhu replied, never trust a holy man who doesn't dance. How many of you understand this? Never trust a holy man who doesn't dance. What is the meaning of this purport of this sentence? Any guess? Any guess? Young boys? See, Harinam Sankirtan is the bona fide religion, you know, in this age of Kali. And some sadhu is teaching meditation, some yogasanas, some you know, pranayama or some jnana yoga, you know, he is a bogus fellow. You understand? Somebody is teaching you meditation, that means he is a bogus. Prabhupada, Dr. Ramamurthy Mishra's studio he went, ashram he went, Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada, they were doing meditation. And after some time, Prabhupada would hear snoring. Right? Snoring. That's where Prabhupada, you know, from there only Prabhupada took. In some of his lectures, Prabhupada mentioned. See, they say they do so-called meditation, but they do Nidra Yoga. They sleep. I would hear snoring. You know? So, how can you do meditation in this age of Kali? Your mind is so contaminated. Right? Anyway. So, that means, you know, Sankirtan Yajna is the bona fide. So real sadhu means, in this age of Kali, is always dancing and chanting and dancing. Right? So you never trust a holy man who is not dancing. If somebody is not chanting and dancing in Kirtan and is not teaching Kirtan, he is not a holy man. He is a bogus fellow. Right? Srila Prabhupada Mahesh Yogi, he was teaching, you know, TM, Transcendental Meditation. So, one of his prominent disciples, you know, when they were in Himalayas, he asked some questions to Maharshi Mahesh Yogi. He could not reply, you know, because they were practicing so-called Transcendental Meditation. So, he told that disciple, his very prominent disciple, what Swami Bhaktivedanta is teaching is the highest. You know, if you are not satisfied with my answer, you go to him. Because what he is teaching is the highest. So that disciple became a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. You know, so later on, when Prabhupada was walking, and then one of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's disciple asked, you know, Swamiji, I do meditation, but sometimes I'm very, very much affected by sex desire. Srila Prabhupada said, what's the big deal? Even animals also become attracted by sex desire. You know, so what is the difference between you and your animal? You know, so all this like that he explained. Then some disciples told to Srila Prabhupada, why didn't you preach to Mahesh Yogi? It's too old now. He'll be ashamed. You know, it'll be a shame for him to change the path. You know, let it be. You know. At least he acknowledged that what I am teaching is highest. Like that. So later on, Srila Prabhupada taught cooking and all, you know, to all the disciples. Prabhupada, Kirtananda is the first cook, you know, Prabhupada taught him. So later on he became Kitchenananda. Right? So Srila Prabhupada would teach him. So then later on, Achyutananda Prabhu corrected that sentence, added one more sentence. You know, you never trust a holy man, you know, who doesn't dance and chant and dance, and never trust a holy man who cannot cook. because you know, whatever Prabhupada would cook, you know, it was a nectar for them. It is like nectar for them. You know, it is like nectar for them. So they never experienced that love, that care that Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada would, you know, first Sunday feast, Prabhupada would serve them. He cooked so many items, you know, 11 course item, you know, feast he cooked. And then he was serving. Then Michael Grant, Mukund Maharaj, "Hey Michael, your plate is empty." You know, then he would go and, you know, fill up the puris and, you know, halwa, this thing, that thing. So in America, they don't, you know, like, once Brahmananda Prabhu, he was explaining to Prabhupada that they were from a very rich family, Brahmananda Prabhu, very big businessman. So Prabhupada, he was explaining to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, my father, he works very hard. You know, he works very hard. And then when he comes back, my mother and we are all eat up everything and we sleep. Then my father would come and eat kurukure." Kurukure. Then Prabhupada would laugh and laugh and then he would fall from the chair. "Oh, he works hard and comes and he eats kurukure." And then he falls down from the chair. Prabhupada would roll on the ground and, you know, he would laugh like that. So that is the Indian culture, means, you know, make them sit. Now in ISKCON also we became, you know, buffalo. Radha Govind Maharaj says, it's not, you know, buffet, you know, it's not buffalo. You know, it's very bad actually, you know. So we should serve out, you know, with love and care. That Prabhupada used to do that, you know, like that. So, this is the main thing. Anyway, so once Achyutananda Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, "Can you teach me Raja Yoga?" Yeah. Then Prabhupada told, that time Radha Krishna, you know, Sarvepalli Radha Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada used to refer. Prabhupada said, purports are bad, but translations are correct, he told. So he used to refer Radha Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. Right? So it's, take out 9th chapter, 2nd verse. So Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram Idam Uttamam. So Prabhupada gave a new meaning. Raja Vidya means king of knowledge. And also, Prabhupada said, yoga of kings. You understand? King of knowledge, one is, and another is, yoga of kings. Then Prabhupada said, not like, you know, these dumb fellows nowadays, politicians. Previously, the, you know, kings used to be yogis, rajarshis. Like that. So Prabhupada said, you know, this is Raja Yoga. Then Prabhupada told that, you know, I teach, you know, emperor yoga, you know, Chakravarti yoga. Like that. So then he said, "Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yuvam samayukta tamo matah." Like that. So somebody, one gentleman asked, Mr. Raymond, he asked, "In your religion," Srila Prabhupada cut him short, "It is not religion, it is knowledge. It's not knowledge, it is not religion, it is knowledge." Like that. So then he said, if everything is God, then we are all God. Everything is God. God says, then they say that God doesn't create, God himself becomes creation. Right? This is called pantheism. Pantheism. Pantheism means there is nothing called God or, you know, creation. So God himself becomes a creation. Like Mayavadis also, they say, energy is transformed and then Krishna doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's all energy. Like that. So, Prabhupada said, then the Raymond asked, okay, then that is, what is absolute truth? Absolute truth means, from something which everything comes. Yeah, from everything comes. Just like, you know, the version is, the potency is non-different from the potent. Energy is non-different from the energetic. Then the effective, immediate and ingredient causes cannot be less than the effect, result. Yes? So everybody, Prabhupada was looking at them. So you don't understand? You want in a simple language? Yes, Prabhupada. Yes, Swamiji. Yeah, then Prabhupada explained, just like, you know, your father is there, your grandfather is there. Can you say some of your ancestors is some formless void, some energy, and then from there you came? They said, no, it cannot be. You know, you are the result of something which is superior. That is why you are here. If something which is the cause of you is lesser than you, you have a form, but from whom you came, he doesn't have form. It doesn't make sense. Right? Prabhupada explained very nicely. Then Prabhupada commented, if it cannot be said in simple language, then it is bogus. Prabhupada, you know, they go to Chinmayananda's lectures, this sadhu, that ananda, this ananda's lectures. And then they will say, well, so nicely he spoke. And then you ask them, what did he spoke? Ah, very nicely he spoke. But what did he speak? Are, very hi-fi, you know, very nicely he spoke. This is Prabhupada, this is bogus, you know, the what they see, you say something, you know. But Prabhupada explained in a very simple and lucid language, where that is the qualification of Srila Prabhupada, you know, and his books, you know. All, to understand all this Vedic knowledge and all, you have to understand Sanskrit. And in order to understand Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra, you have to be an expert in the logic, Nyaya Shastra, right? And then grammar, all these things. But Prabhupada's books are, you know, without any qualification, you read them, then you understand the, you know, highest knowledge. Then Achyutananda Prabhu asked, Mayatadam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina, you know, mastani sarvabhutani, nachaham tveshavasitaha, nachamastani bhutani, pashyame yogamaishwaram. So, what is the meaning of this? You know, so I'll just read out very, you might not have heard this explanation of this verse so nicely, you know. Fantastic explanation Srila Prabhupada gave. You know, you just hear this very carefully. It is fabulous, I said, but inconceivable. How is Krishna in everything and not present? He gestured me to stop, handed me the Gita and said, just read from chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. Then he read. How can Krishna be everywhere? How can God have a form and also be everywhere? If He is all pervading, He must be formless. Achyutananda Prabhu was asking this. Then Prabhupada replied, again, just like the sun, the Swami replied, the sun has a form and from His form spreads light and heat everywhere. The light and heat cannot be separated from the sun. Can you say there is sun without light and heat? Achyutananda replied, no. But isn't Krishna in me? He was asking again. Yes, he replied confidently. Just like if you have many pots of water, you can see the sun disk reflected in each one. But the sun planet is far away in the sky. You understand? Yes. But I went on pressing my question. Then Krishna says, everything is in me. I don't understand. He is in and out and not in, not out. He continued, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I first taught the science to Vivashvan. That is the name of the sun god. The sun represents Krishna in so many ways. The tree is a product of sunlight. Yes, by photosynthesis. Thank you. A tree is nothing but transformation of sunlight. All vegetation is a product of the external energy of the sun, far, far away from the sun planet. When you think of the sun, there is the sun planet, the sun disk, the sun's heat and light, and all the properties of sunlight to make life on this earth. Still, there is no tree in the sun. Understand? There is no tree in the sun. it will blow up, burn up. Yes. The tree is the byproduct of the sun's external energy, but sitting under the tree, can you get a sunburn? Just say, no, I answered. Very good. Under the tree is shade. When you touch a tree, it is not hot. But within the sun are all the properties to create the tree. Dormant sun energy is stored as wood in the tree, make heat by friction, and the sun energy comes out as fire. Sunlight evaporates ocean water to make the cloud to feed the tree water. Then sometimes the cloud produces lightning and sets the tree on fire. So when you see all the trees in this world, you are seeing the influence of the sun. But in the sun planet, there is no water or cloud. Can the tree create the sun? Certainly not. Similarly, everything we see is the influence of Krishna, but it is not Krishna himself. Like this, God can exist in his own abode and simultaneously be the all-pervasive controller of the universe. This is Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness. You know? So then, after this explanation, he decided that he should join. You know? Like that. So this is nature. The nature of the soul is to be, servant of Krishna. Then somebody asked, if God is everywhere, then everything belongs to God. So why does it say in Vedanta that we are God? The Swami replied, he has hands, sarvato pani padam yat, sarvasokshe siromukaha, sarvata shrutimalloke, sarvamavritti tishtati. Krishna says, I am everywhere, my hands are everywhere, he has so many legs, his legs are everywhere, and his eyes are everywhere, he is seeing everything, like everything like that. So Prabhupada gave this example, previously he asked that question, if we are all part and parcel of Krishna, and then we are meant to serve Krishna, when did and how and where we became illusioned? Like that, So Srila Prabhupada replied, did you sleep last night? He said, have you slept last night? Prabhupada asked. That person said, yes. At what time you fell into sleep? He said, I don't know. But you fell asleep. Right? So we don't know. When you wake up, it doesn't matter what time you slept. Because you are unconscious, you don't know when you fell asleep. You are rolling on the bed, but when you fell asleep, you don't know what time you slept. But you fell asleep. That time you are unconscious. But when you are up, there is, it doesn't matter what time you slept. Like that, we just fell into illusion. So when we wake up, it doesn't matter. So this is, those people who are not serving Krishna, for them, this material world is meant for that. So, this is the state of Krishna unconsciousness. Krishna unconsciousness. But when you are Krishna conscious, so Prabhupada gave a very nice example. Just like Krishna's hands are there. So, your hands also are Krishna's hands only. But your hand cannot act like Krishna's hand. But your hand is also Krishna's hand. Then Prabhupada gave this example. A finger is there. If it is connected to the hand, it has value. It can do some service. But if the hand cuts and then amputated and then falling on the floor, it has no value. It has no value. Like that, when you are serving Krishna, you are connected to Krishna. So Krishna is using your hands to enjoy. Because that is Krishna's hands, and then he is using all these unlimited hands to enjoy himself. But when you are not serving Krishna, when you are enjoying your senses, you are amputated from Krishna. Your hand is amputated from Krishna. So you get connected to Krishna. Then this is called, Prabhupada gave this example. That this is called oneness and simultaneously one and different. You are qualitatively one with Krishna and quantitatively different from Krishna. Prabhupada says sunshine is there, sparks are there. You know, sunshine can evaporate the cloud, you know, water from the ocean and put it in the cloud and give water in the form of rains. But a small particle of spark cannot do all these things. Right? In the same way, Krishna is Vibhu and then we are Anu. So what Krishna can do, we can't do. So when we understand this, Prabhupada writes, if one is fortunate enough to understand his relationship with God, knowing that God is great, Vibhu, whereas the living entity is small, Anu, he is perfect in knowledge. Right? So I always say this, that Aham Shariram Asmi, Aham Shariram Asmi, I am this body, that is Ajnana. Right? Aham Brahma Asmi, I am the Brahman, that is called knowledge. Right? Aham Krishna Dasosmi, I am servant of Krishna, is Vijnana. Right? So to the extent we are engaged in Krishna's service, to that extent we are self-realized. To the extent we are engaged in our sense gratification, to that extent we are entangled. Right? So this is the purport of this verse. So if anybody understands that I am eternal servant of Krishna, he is in perfect knowledge. Right? That is why when Kulinagram devotees met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gundaraj Khan, he wrote one book, Krishna Samhita, Krishna Charitra. So in that book he wrote that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is my life and soul, like that. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Satyadaraj Khan, he was his grandson, he said, Kulinagram devotees, they are very dear to me, because every year they would bring rope for pulling the chariot. So Gundaraj Khan wrote like this in Krishna Samhita, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is my life and soul. Just by that one sentence, he purchased me. I became indebted to this Gundaraj Khan and his family. Not only Gundaraj Khan and his family, I will deliver all of them, they will get Krishna Prema. Even a dog born in Kulinagram, they will get Krishna Prema. they will get Krishna Prema. So that is the effect of understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am his eternal servant. That is real knowledge. Then that illusion will go away. Okay? Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments? Okay? Grandra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram Ram, Hare Hare.